This is Kevin Wilson speaking about his great uncle Kirk Simpson. During one of our visits together, Uncle Kirk discussed his railroad trip with Teddy Roosevelt in 1911. This is the what has become known as the Bull Moose train trip, which began the Bull Moose 1912 presidential run for Teddy Roosevelt as an independent progressive candidate. Roosevelt either asked for my uncle to join him as his sole press representative on the trip, or the AP DC office manager selected him. I'm not sure which. I know Uncle Kirk knew Teddy Roosevelt already before that trip. In any event, the train entourage consisted of just five people: Roosevelt and his wife, Roosevelt's aide and secretary, and Mrs. Roosevelt had a maid who joined her, and then Kirk Simpson. And they traveled all the way across the country, stopping at many locations so that Roosevelt could speak, often at the train station from the train back platform. Eventually they got to California and ended up in Sacramento. Kirk wasn't aware of the goal of the trip, really. It wasn't until they got to Sacramento that Roosevelt excused himself from the little group and went off alone into the Capitol, and then came back later. And Kirk learned at that point that Roosevelt had gone to meet the governor of California, Hiram Johnson, who was also a progressive. And Johnson agreed to join the ticket for 1912, with Roosevelt as the lead and Hiram Johnson as the vice presidential part of the ticket. And that ended up becoming the Bull Moose campaign. And on the way back, or perhaps on the way out, Kirk began composing these stories about the trip. So those stories became the part of the campaign at the very beginning, and became a very fairly famous group of stories. After the 1912 election, Kirk Simpson became a permanent fixture in the Washington, D.C. Associated Press office. Before that, he had been there, and then he was back out on the West Coast. But at some point after the election, perhaps around 1913, he was a permanent staff member there. And during 1914, he joined a group of international journalists that accompanied General John Pershing and an army contingent down to Veracruz, Mexico, during the various uprisings. During the Veracruz campaign with General Pershing, Kirk Simpson got to know quite a few of the young officers, many of whom became world famous, including Dwight Eisenhower and several other people who he met continuously for decades afterward. His relationship with Pershing was quite close. Pershing considered him a young friend. And after World War I ended, Pershing came up with the idea of a national highway system. There was no such system in Europe, and Pershing thought that if the Europeans had a national system that connected all the countries, they would have had a much stronger defense against Germany during the 1914 invasion. So he promoted this idea of a national highway system and asked Congress to approve funds to take a small group to Europe to investigate their highway system toward the planning of a national system in the U.S., and Pershing asked Kirk Simpson to join that group, I think partly because of Kirk's interest in mapping, plus they got along well together. Kirk told me that he was not interested at all in doing this project and did not want to leave his journalistic job for a tour of Europe for a year, but he just didn't have the heart to say no, and said he was felt very fortunate when Congress turned down the idea. It wasn't until a number of years later that Route 66 was started, which went partway across the country. And that was sort of the beginning of the first national system. But my impression was that Pershing was the first person behind the whole idea. In 1927, Kirk Simpson got a long-awaited vacation, and he took an opportunity to go to Europe. But at the same time, Charles Lindbergh planned his sole trip to Paris by plane, and the Associated Press wanted someone to meet him in Paris and then accompany him home on by ship. So they desperately started wiring Kirk in London, trying to locate him. And Kirk said the last thing he wanted to do was give up his vacation to go to Paris to interview Lindbergh, when Lindbergh would be interviewed by hundreds of reporters, and there wouldn't be any point in that. So he made sure that the London hotel couldn't find him, and sent back that he'd already left and they didn't know where he went. So he did give up the opportunity to meet Lindbergh, but it didn't seem to, it didn't bother him at all. And he probably would have been disappointed in what happened with Lindbergh later on with his Nazi associations. Kirk Simpson had several stories about President Roosevelt. I asked him once what he most remembered about Roosevelt, and I assumed it would be something about his intellectual character or leadership. But Kirk surprised me. He thought about it for a moment and then said he was so strong in his arms and shoulders, and he explained that for years he'd built up his upper body to allow him to walk using his sons. He didn't want to appear with crutches. He never wanted anyone to see him with crutches. So he wore these incredible leg braces, tremendously heavy leg braces, which allowed him to move his legs. But he did it by swinging out. And he would support himself with one son on one shoulder and one son on the other. And he would hold onto their shoulders and then swing his legs forward. And he practiced this for years and years and years to get around. There's very little film of him. He didn't like anybody to film him moving. But this was a very lengthy process. Right after Roosevelt developed polio, at some point, the Cufflink gang members bought Roosevelt a cane and inscribed it from his, you know, his pals. It was kind of an emblem of the idea that he would recover, though everyone knew that he would never regain the ability to walk. And they said that Roosevelt was very touched by this cane and liked to show it off, though he was never able to use it. At some point, there was a famous occasion where Roosevelt, before he became president, came to speak on the floors of Congress, either in the Senate or in the House of Representatives. I don't remember when. And Kirk said that he was up near the front door of the entrance into the building, and Roosevelt appeared with his sons and started the long walk down to the lectern to speak, and walked right past him and didn't recognize him. He was concentrating so tremendously. Kirk said that sweat was pouring off of his face, and he was in a total trance to get down that long walkway, and walked right past him and looked at him and had no recognition of who it was and didn't remember that he'd seen him later on. But tremendous dedication. Another time, Kirk said they used to go swimming at Warm Springs in Georgia at the polio rehabilitation camp that Roosevelt built. And kids and adults would come from all over the country during the summer to kind of rehab there and learn recovery methods, early ideas about how to treat polio. And they built a big pool, and Roosevelt would organize polo swimming. And he got very good at it. Kirk said that he was so good at it that he could reach out with his hand. He could kind of swim with one hand, keeping him afloat, and then with the other hand, he could dunk you. And Kirk said one time, you know, he was swimming with him, and they were playing water polo, and the president just reached over and just pushed his head down like a cork and let him bob up again. And that was an example, he said, of his tremendous upper body strength, that he was kind of built like a football linebacker.